our best not to waste that effort, and hopefully we can get into God's Word and get some help tonight. We're going to be in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, if you want to go ahead and turn. While you're turning, you know, I'm thinking kind of what Brother Mike was saying. I was having a conversation with one of my daughters last night, and we were just talking about the fact that you can't even decide to not be saved anymore. Once you're in, you can't even, not that you would, but you don't even, you can't even mess it up. You can't do anything to get out of God's hand. That's a pretty safe place to be on a journey that I can't even mess up. That's good stuff. I tell you though, sometimes the journey can be trying. I was thinking about when I was a kid, and I used to watch the World Wrestling Federation, WWF. Daniel, did you ever watch that? You did? I knew you did. I knew it. Yeah, I knew that. So sometimes, the reason I was thinking about it is because sometimes it feels like life's got you in a full Nelson. You remember the full Nelson? I would say tell you to come up here and demonstrate it, but I got a bum shoulder and I don't want any part of that. But a full Nelson where you just kind of can't move. And, you know, sometimes life gets a grip on you like that, the weight and the trouble, and you're trying to tag out and there's nowhere to go. There's nobody trying to tag you out. And I'll say, you know, I could probably name my problems, and many of you would say, Randy, you don't have problems. Those aren't real problems. Some of you might say, how are you dealing with that? How in the world do you handle that load? Our problems are kind of relative, but the fact is that my full Nelson, my headlock is mine, and I feel it. And yours is yours, and you feel it. And it can be, it can get kind of rough sometimes. Life is a challenge, and that's going to feed a little bit into our lesson tonight. If you will, if you're in 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll look at verse 1 that says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, and he went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there." So basically, Jezebel has said, okay, you had all the prophets slain, you're next, you're going to die. And that's what Elijah was dealing with here. In verse 4 it says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Elijah, in this scene here, had gotten to a place to where he was sad, he was dejected, he was alone, and he was sitting under this juniper tree, worried about his problems, worried about the grip that life had on him, and he said, God, I can't do it anymore, just let me die. Has anybody ever been in a place where they felt that low? Elijah was one phenomenal prophet. Okay, this was not a weak man. This was not a person that didn't know about God. This is not a person that didn't have faith. God had given Elijah great victory and had shown him provision. If you read chapter 17 through 18, kind of leading up to this, leading up to chapter 19, you'll see that Elijah was taken on King Ahab directly. And even worse, his wife Jezebel. He was standing up and declaring God's word in front of them. Elijah had called for the drought for all of Israel based on God's voice. He told Ahab, there's going to be a drought. And God has commanded it. God sent him during that time to the brook Cherith, which is a wet weather spring. And there he got water, and ravens delivered him bread. Y'all know what a wet weather spring is? That's a spring that only has water when it's been raining, and when the ground's saturated. He's in a drought, and God is giving him water through a wet weather spring. That's not supposed to happen. That's the power of God. And he gave him water until it was time for him to move on. And then after that, he went to the widow woman and her son and enjoyed a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil that would not run out. God's provision is endless. But I want you to notice something through these situations. Elisha had to be at the right place at the right time. And I don't mean lucky. I don't mean he had to fall into these situations. God told him, go to the brook Cherith. And he got his provision there. And then God said, no more here. Provision, no more. Go to the widow woman. And he got provision there. A lot of times, God's trying to offer us something, but we're in the wrong place to get it. He's asking us to move. For from there, so in that story of the widow woman, God even used Elijah to bring her son, who had fallen sick and had no breath, back to life. So God had given him the power in that moment to raise life, to give life to this boy. That's a pretty powerful thing. If I'm experiencing a God that's feeding me with birds, hello, feeding me, giving me drink with a wet water spring, then I come across a meal, a barrel that won't go dry, and a cruse of oil that won't go dry, and now I have witnessed life that was not there become life again. I would say that Elijah had seen the power of God and had experienced it. But just think about what we had just read. He was saying under that juniper tree, I'm done. I don't have it anymore. Just let me die. After Elijah left the boy and the widow, he heard from God again. And God told Elijah it was time for it to rain again. Elijah went to show God's power straight in front of Ahab again. Y'all remember the watered down burnt offering? Where he said, dig a trench, pour the water on. And Elijah prayed and the burnt offering was consumed. And the other prophets had been praying and cutting and singing and doing everything they could do. And they couldn't get the burnt offering to burn, and that's when Elijah ordered their death, the killing of the prophets. At this time, I would say he was emboldened. He had the power of God all over him, and this is all before he just took this day's journey we were talking about. Found himself in a place that he was ready to quit, tired, used up, scared, and alone. And I wanted to draw this lesson from Elijah's time under the juniper tree. Because I think we all, no matter how good things are going for us, end up under the juniper tree eventually. And hopefully it's for a short time. But I think we all get there at some point. I love to teach the time by the brook Cherith. That's one of my favorite lessons to teach. And I also love to teach the barrel of meal and the display of God's power and the burnt offering where was also a great lesson, but we're going to talk about where Elijah decided to quit today. So sometimes despair comes from troubles and sickness and loss. You know, it's amazing, though, you can see people carrying a big burden and a big load, and sometimes they can carry joy in that situation. They can be happy. Paul said, I think myself happy. I mean, he said that, and I think that's a great quality to have. And I think sometimes we're able to do that, and we're able to pull that off. Maybe even as a good Christian, we ought to be like Paul and be able to think ourselves happy in any situation. I'm being a little bit sarcastic there, because I can tell you that's not always true for me. I can't always get from here to there. Sometimes the load gets me depressed, gets me tired, gets me fatigued. Gets me to the place that Elijah was at. But it's great when you can do it, but sometimes you can't get there. You know, and sometimes in the middle of our blessings, we can find ourselves miserable. I think it's the strangest thing. We get to our place in our lives. Hopefully we can get there. where the cabinets are full of food, the pantry's full of food, refrigerator's good, nobody's sick, got a warm bed to sleep in, you know, the kids are all safe, the grandkids are all safe, and we can still be in that situation and find ourselves miserable. It's an amazing thing. We can become miserable in that situation, often based on anxiety of things that aren't real. We spend a lot of time worrying about things that don't really exist and aren't really going to happen. That's a big problem for us. And I'll tell you, that situation and having that anxiety can chip away at your happiness. It can chip away at your contentment, and it can chip away at your energy. Energy is a big thing for me, because I can, if I can feel good and I can have energy and I'm not too fatigued, I'm not going to say I can take on anything, but I got a better shot at it. But once I start getting fatigued, boy, I can really get in a mess, especially if it's day in and day out. Sometimes we get to a place where we feel no hope, and I think that's really the difference from those who can be happy in a bad situation and those who can be happy in a good situation, or be unhappy in a good situation. It's the loss of hope, the hope that things will get better, the hope that there's a solution. That loss of hope is when the despair comes. And I would argue that Elijah was in a place where he had lost his hope when he asked God to let him die. Hope and faith are very close ideas. I'd argue that when we lose hope, what we're really saying is that we're losing faith. Those two words are intertwined. And you find that in a very common verse, a very popular verse, Hebrews 11:1, where it says, now, faith is, y'all could probably quote it, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. This verse introduced me to the relationship between hope and faith. To me, the words of the verse is a mind twister, but I believe when you lose hope, when you're losing hope, I challenge you to ask, is it really my faith that I need to deal with? If Elijah has seen God do all these mighty things and he's got to a place of no hope, I'd say that he was forgetting the things that God had done, and he was having a moment of weak faith. Right now we're in the third week of January, and it's a new year. A lot of times a new year is a time to hit reset, a time of hope, a time of anticipation of what's to come. But no doubt some of us in here are in the place where we might be like Elijah. You know, and that just makes us human. That's just a part of our human experience. We're all going to get to that situation sometimes. So I want to encourage you tonight, if you're tired, scared, or discouraged, we don't get to quit as Christians. There are people counting on us. We have a job to do. We don't get to quit. So if you're in this place, there's three things I'd encourage you to focus on. First is your health. Second is your mind. And third is your spiritual life, your spirit. So I'm going to break those three things down and defend them a little bit with Elijah's story. So if we'll move on over to the 1 Kings 19, verse 5, that should be just down from where we were just reading. I want to point out to you that the first thing Elijah needed is he needed to get his health right. And this is evidence in the fact that he needed sleep and he needed food. He had traveled a day's journey. He was by himself. He didn't have provision. He was tired and he was disgusted. In verse 5 it says, and he lay and slept under the juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. So he'd just gotten rest and now he was getting food. And he looked and behold, there was a cake of bacon on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again for more sleep and more rest. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again in the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You're going to need energy. You're going to need your help to do what you've got to do. God's got a journey in front of you. You're going to have to move through that journey, and you're going to need your help to do so. You're going to need your strength. Verse 8, and he arose, and he did eat and drink, and he went in strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. When we hit bottom, we won't move forward if we stay run down. If we get ourselves to a place of physically being run down. Step one is we have to build our strength through rest, food, and healthy activity. Some of you are unlike me, but some of you give all yourself to other people. You put your energy into other people, and you don't take care of yourself. You got to be careful not to spend all of yourself and not take care of your own self. It's kind of like in the airplane when the oxygen mask drop. You're supposed to put your own mask on first, because if you're not getting oxygen, you're not any good to help anybody else. It's the same thing in this situation. You've got to have your own self strengthened so that you can be there for others. I had a situation years ago, it's probably been 7-8 years now. On my job, we had signed a contract that we didn't get good terms on. It had gone too long, and we kept sacrificing our side of things. And anyway, eventually we got the contract, and we needed to execute, and it wasn't resourced the way it needed to be. And I happened to be one of the guys that had to go execute that. And we got in trouble. It could have been, you know, predicted. Well, we got in a place where we needed to turn it around. And I spent, we had a 90-day clock that we were being watched under, a lot of pressure. And I spent the first 70 days of that 90 days at work every single day. No day off. Some of you say, well, that's easy, Randy. I can do that. Well, more power to you. I can't. I was a complete zombie. I couldn't put, you know, 2 plus 2. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't function. I learned, hey, I've got to take care of myself before I can be in a situation where I can take care of my business. I had to learn that the hard way. Don't get yourself in a position where you're spending all of yourself for any reason. Make sure you're taking care of your health. Also, get your mind right. Our minds are very powerful. Mental health is very important. Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. It's very much our attitude and our mindset matters a great deal how we get through life. Ephesians tells us to put on our helmet of salvation. Talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of truth, or feet shod with preparation of the gospel, but it also talks about this helmet of salvation. This helmet of salvation is the only piece of that armor we just talked through that covers the front, the sides, and the back, and the top. The devil tries to attack our mind from all directions. We've got to keep our minds in a good place. Devil pressures, and the pressure of this world will attack our minds. And like I said, physical fatigue and mental fatigue, they're best friends. They travel together. Paul said, I think myself happy. Sometimes we have to force ourselves to move forward. Martin Luther King said, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. Keep moving forward. I would encourage you around that. My message around the mind is to guard yourself from getting stuck. Elijah had a choice in this situation. He could take the advice of the angel. He could take the provisions of the angel. Or he could have stayed stuck in that mindset under that juniper tree, and he could have said, nope. I'm not taking any of this. I'm not doing anything different. I asked to die, and I want to die. And that's the way it's going to be. He could have decided not to move forward. We have to move forward. Ask anybody that's successful in life how they got there. And I think that what they'll say is because I got there, because I didn't stay here. They were willing to change. They were willing to move forward. We often let our destination become our dream, but I believe sometimes the journey matters as much as the destination and the fact that we need to keep moving. So Elijah couldn't stay under that juniper tree and die no more than you and I get the option to stop and die. No more than any of us get the option to stop and die. Well, I'm too old, I'm too sick, or I don't have the abilities, or I'm too hurt, I'm too discouraged. Hey, I don't make light of anybody's feelings because we all get in those places. But if you quit, you are where you are, and that's where you're going to be. Is that deep or is that shallow? If you quit, you are where you are. Well, you better be happy with where you are if you're quitting, because that's where you're going to be. It takes movement to get out of those situations. There's a great line in one of the Rocky movies. I think they all have about the same dialogue, but one of the Rocky movies says, "Life ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard of a hit you can take and keep getting up." So if you want to get in a different place, you're going to have to muster up the energy to walk into the punches of life, get knocked down, get up, and keep moving. That's what's required. I'm sorry, this isn't an easy journey. We have to be resilient. We have to be tough. Get your health right. Get your mind right. And let's get your spirit or your soul right. I found in my life that any victory that I've seen has come 100% from God's favor. I've never been good enough. I've never been talented enough. I've never been smart enough. I've never known what to do in any situation. Just God, either He's just given me favor and He's given you favor and He's allowed us to win and to prosper in life. His favor, with His favor comes His provision. Elijah had His favor, and Elijah had His provision. His protection, His power. Without God, I tell you personally, I would have quit a long time ago. And just like Elijah, I probably have quit a few times on the journey. But you can't stay there. Let's just be honest with you. I can't always see God, and I can't always feel God, and I can't always find God. But I know He's there, because He said He'd never leave us, and He said He'd never forsake us. I don't always get the clarity I want when I pray, and I don't always get the next step when I ask. I don't always get the answer. Sometimes God allows me to struggle. Why? Sometimes God allows you to struggle. Why? Well, that's His business. His business, and it's for His purpose, and surely it's to make us better. Doesn't feel good, but it's to make us better. So Elijah had to go find God also. Excuse me. Elijah had heard God many times, but God wasn't under the juniper tree. Elijah had to make a move. Now that he'd gotten the rest and the strength, he had to make a move from his spot of despair to a place where he could hear God. So let's look at that. Let's continue down in Kings 19, 1 Kings 19, and verse 11. This is the angel telling him. He said, "And go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and the great and strong wind rent the mountains and break pieces of rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle, and he went up, and he went out and stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" So God speaks to us in many ways. In this situation, to Elijah, it was in a still, small voice. If you're in a place where you feel like you want to quit and you're screaming for God to move, let me suggest you keep in mind, He may be moving in a still, small voice that we cannot hear because we're stuck under the juniper tree. The voice may be in a slightly different spot, and God may be looking for us to move to go hear it. I don't have all the answers, but I will tell you, I've lived a little bit of life now. I've at least lived long enough to get some gray. Take care of your health. Eat, sleep, move, get sunshine. Take care of your mind. Fix your mind on resilience and perseverance, moving forward. And even if you're taking punches, don't cover up and lay down. Walk right into the challenge and get your spirit right. Let God be God and trust. It's the faith and the hope. He may be in the wind. He may be in the wind for you. He may be in the earthquake. He may be in the fire or the still small voice. That's up to Him. But trust that He is there for you. Amen. Thank you tonight.